Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Thank you for joining us on this special edition of the Good Fight Radio Show. As always, with me is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel.
Good to be here, bro.
I think I surprised him. No, and if you guys have been listening, I'm really, really excited about what we're doing in these last two episodes, the episode that aired yesterday and the one we're going to be airing today, because I have a wonderful brother in Christ here, Arthur, is the better way to say it. I should be able to remember that, yeah. Considering it's my grandfather's name.
Both are
Arthur
acceptable.
Asadorian. So we are so excited to have him. He is the founder of Apologia Center. And guys, I really want to encourage you to go and subscribe to his YouTube channel. Just go to youtube.com and type in Apologia Center. And you guys, go click subscribe. Check it out. And maybe you can be the 1,000th subscriber for his ministry, because he's doing some groundbreaking things in Armenia and now back here in the States as well. And what we want to do is push that, because we see brothers in Christ that are doing amazing things for the body of Christ and also for this lost and dying world to reach the gospel, get it out to them. So we're excited to have him with us, because we're going to be talking about a very serious subject going on, and I'm excited to dig in with our brother Arthur.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. For me, again, we got to equip the church. And Amen. We got to equip the church for all sorts of ministry, obviously, but specifically in this case for evangelism. And so I've benefited personally from a lot of ministries out there who've done this, given the tools to evangelize, to reach the lost. And so I want to be able to do that as well, reaching, because there's so many different kinds of people.
Right. Arthur, we want to get from you, because a lot of people aren't even aware of it in the West, because there's so many conflicts. You know, it seems like there's all these wars going around. And what happens is, you know, people don't know who to pray for. They're like, they get their news from the mainstream media. And right now you have the Azeris who have been really tamping down on the Armenians. And there's that conflict. A lot of people didn't know that's going on.
Yes.
And they don't know the background of it. And just before I ask this question, when I approach Armenians, this kind of ties into how I share the gospel with them sometimes, because many Armenians love Jesus, you know, many need to know him. But I'll ask them, for years I've been doing this, ever since Obama made his campaign, you know, pledge to the Armenians to get their vote, that he would ask the Armenians or the Turks. And by the way, folks, the Ottoman Empire was one of the baddest empires that ever existed for about, 400 years or so. And they ruled, you know, not only the Middle East for the most part, and pushed up to Austria and so forth. But it's interesting. They killed it's been estimated up to the genocide of almost 2 million Armenians, which they deny to this day. And I don't want to get into all that, because I want you to get into it. But can you tie that in, the history there, into what's going on in the conflict now with the Azeris, and how the land that they're fighting for, taking from the Armenians, what happened with the Soviet Union, that whole thing?
Sure, yeah. Again, this might feel like a history lesson for everybody that's
watching.
But
it's awesome.
It's okay. Because there's parts of the world where you need the history lesson, because the conflicts and the issues that have been going on aren't 10, 20, 30, 40 years. They're 200, 300, 500 years.
Yeah.
Right. And again, when we talk about the genocide, a lot of people call it the Armenian genocide. And as an Armenian, I understand why that's the case, but it wasn't just an Armenian genocide. It was a genocide that killed Armenians, Greeks, and Assyrians. Mm. And these people all had one common denominator. They're all Christians.
Yeah, that's right.
They all claim to be Christians, right?
By the Muslim Turks.
Yeah, right. And so and here's the other common denominator. If any one of these people converted to Islam, their lives were spared, which very simply tells us it was a religious conflict.
That's a great point.
It was not an ethnic conflict. The only reason the majority of people were killed were Armenians is because that was on historic Armenian land, and that was the majority of the population were Christian Armenians.
Right.
So, but it's always been religious. It's not just religious, because it's very difficult also to kind of separate religion, from politics and all that stuff, especially when you're talking about Islam, because Islam is a socio-political religion. It's not just a religion the way Westerners understand it.
Because
it tells you how to do politics. It tells you how to wash your hands.
Yeah.
I mean, it tells you every single detail.
It's very true.
So the conflict is in a region called Nagorno-Karabakh. Okay, now that's a Russified Turkic name for it. It means black garden. It's very lush territory, mountains, beautiful. Mm-hmm. I was there last year. And the Armenians have, we have our own name for it called Artsakh. And if we want to kind of go back, and it was very interesting. I was observing my six-year-old son and all this stuff's going on. Most of your Armenian friends are not sleeping very much, I'll tell you that.
Right.
It's heavy on us. Mm-hmm. And I was observing my six-year-old son. I told my wife, I said, man, when this war was going on in the early 90s, when I was in Armenia, so 1990 to 1994 was when the ceasefire was called. I was 5 to 9 years old in those years. And I'm looking at my six-year-old son, I said,
wow.
And I was his age.
Wow.
And now he's seeing
full
this
circle.
Stuff.
Wow. You know?
And so it was tough. And so again, that's the kind of, I guess, step back we could take is the early 90s. Now, the early 90s are very complicated because this is a part of the world that was dominated by Russia, by the USSR, by the Communist Russia, and Communist Russia was falling apart. And as Communist Russia was falling apart, these republics that were in the Russian Federation, right, the Communist Federation, started declaring independence.
Right.
Okay. Two of those were Armenia and Azerbaijan. Right. Now, one of those was this region called Artsakh, Nagorno-Karabakh, where there was a referendum done, the people voted democratically, and they said, we either want to be joined with Armenia, because the people living in that land are ethnic Armenians, majority of the people, and they have always been, or we want to be our own independent state. Now, Azerbaijan didn't like this, because they said, no, you're in our territory, you're a part of our country, and so they invaded that. With the invading armies, obviously the people there started defending themselves, and then the Armenian Republic said, hey, we're not going to let another genocide happen.
Yeah.
We've gone through this. We went through this 90 years ago. This isn't happening. And so they started supporting Karabakh, Artsakh. And what ended up happening is that the Armenian forces pushed the Azeris back. They actually not only took Artsakh, but they took seven different regions around it. That's like a buffer zone. That's been a buffer zone for
kind
the last 30 years.
Yeah.
And the war stopped. It's ceasefire, and it's been like that. There have been clashes here and there. The major clash kind of happened in July, where it was kind of like, oh, something's happening here. I actually did an interview with Sam Shamoon on my channel in August, and I said, man, I think there's a war coming, because it's weird. The fighting's not like it's been in these last 30 years. Now, very sad that I was right about that. Mm. That's exactly what ended up happening. So September 27th, the Azeris launched a full-scale attack on Artsakh. And when I say full-scale, if you're reading the news, people are saying things like, this is the war that's going to show us the future of warfare. Mm. Almost all of their bombardment is being done by drones.
Wow.
They're using suicide drones. Right? The sad thing, as a matter of fact, is that most of their drones are being bought from Israel.
Oh,
now, this is all sorts of complications as to why this is happening. It could be that Israel has a good relationship with Azerbaijan because they have a bad relationship with Iran. So again, for those who don't know the map, let me just kind of try to mentally visualize it for you. Armenia is a really, really small country that's landlocked. Okay, so no sea, no connection to a sea, even though there are seas there, right? If you're looking at the map like this, to the left, you get Turkey, that is about 90 million people. To the south, you get Iran. Okay.
Yeah, crazy.
To the north,
You
get Georgia.
And Russia.
Right? To up. And Russia above that. And then to its right, you get Azerbaijan.
Wow, that's crazy.
Now, the ironic thing is their best relationship in this whole region is with Iranians.
That's okay? Crazy, man.
And that could be that's part of it because there's historic ties with Iran.
Yeah,
Iran.
Yeah.
The Persians have been there for a long time and Armenians. So now, why is there even a conflict? Why are they going over this land? Well, let's put it into the hands of a dictator to make decisions, basically, is what I say. When you go back to the early 1900s, the Tsarist Russia controlled that region. There was no country called Azerbaijan prior to this historically. Not saying there wasn't a people group.
Right.
I'm saying there was no country called Azerbaijan.
Right.
Okay. And the Russians owned that region, and then obviously the Russian kind of the Tsarist Russia fell. And as Tsarist Russia fell, World War I's happening. This is when the genocide's going on. The Turks massacred the Armenians, committed genocide against the Armenians under the guise of there's war going on, World War I.
Yeah.
Right. So you get typically 1915 is the date given to it. But as a matter of fact, there was massacres of Armenians happening in the 1890s.
Wow.
Right. Under their Sultan, Sultan Hamid was the Sultan. And then there's a revolution in Turkey, and then a political group came to power called the Young Turks. Right. This is why a lot of my Armenian friends don't even like that YouTube channel, not just because it's very liberal and
normal. Right. Yeah,
it's because they're named after genocidal maniacs.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And their founder came out and said, oh, I accept the genocide and all this stuff. Said, well, you got to change your name, man. It's like calling my YouTube channel the Nazis or like Hitler's children or something.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. The Nazi youth.
And then saying, but I'm cool with the Holocaust. And I accept it. So the Young Turks came to power, and they had a systematic plan to depopulate the eastern part of the country, which was predominantly Armenian lands, of its Armenian populace. And 80% of the population was wiped out.
Wow.
Full-on genocide. You're talking about like what people are used to seeing with like Germany and, you know, trains with people in there. That stuff was happening.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, German officers were in Turkey seeing this stuff happen. Most of the pictures you get of the genocide was actually taken illegally by a German officer. Hitler and his generals actually used the Armenian genocide of saying, hey, nobody noticed this stuff. Nobody's going to notice this stuff we're going to do. This is kind of the setting of this stuff. So you get Turkish Muslims, and the Turkic aspect is extremely important, wiping this Armenian populace. Now, there's wars happening as well. Russia's fighting, and the Armenians are fighting with the Russians, trying to recapture their historic lands. So they're fighting with the Turks. There's also clashes happening with the Azeris. This is early 1900s, 1918.
The Azeris are related to the Turks, right?
They're Turkic, yes.
Yeah.
So they're ethnic Turkic,
yeah.
But religiously they're closer to Iranians because they're Shia Muslims.
Shiites, yeah.
Yeah, so the Turks are Sunnis. These guys are Shiites, but they're Turkic. So they as a matter of fact, you will hear Turks and Azeris regularly say that we're basically the same people but two countries.
Yeah, interesting. Right? Yeah.
Wow. One people. It's the Turkish identity that they have. In the early 1900s, when this fighting was happening, the communists came in and took, the Bolsheviks came in and took over Armenia. Okay? And they signed a peace treaty with the Turks. It's Treaty of, it's Kars, but it's spelled K-A-R-S. Okay? And you'll see what the agreement was and lands and all that stuff. Threw a whole chunk of land into Turkey. That was Armenian land.
Yeah.
And that stopped. But they also decided that Azerbaijan, this newly formed country that was around for like a year, 2 years, that came under Bolshevik rule, was going to become a part of the Soviet Union. And Stalin, this is the genocidal maniac, Stalin made a decision to include Artsakh into Azerbaijan.
Yeah.
98% Armenian, ethnic Armenian people living there. And he puts it into a predominantly Muslim Azeri country. And you say, why?
Yeah.
I mean, we can guess at that. My guess is that he didn't want Armenia to be kind of unified and one people. The very interesting thing is that there's a document from that period of time where the Azeri government is recognizing Artsakh as being a part of Armenia.
Oh, that's it.
Before the whole communist takeover.
Right.
But Stalin does what he does, and he put him in there, and for 70 years, people were living there. And there's Ukrainians that moved in there, and more Azeris moved in there during these 70 years. When communism fell, everyone's declaring independence, as they should.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, as a Christian, we can say this very confidently, that it's our God-given right to govern ourselves. Right, I mean, this is why I love American politics so much, not the dirty part, but the foundations of this country, the fundamentals is
so you're not voting for Biden? Just kidding.
You shouldn't, kid. But, I think that's pretty clear. I am more conservative than most conservatives. Right? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, and I would say this is what the people of Artsakh have wanted. They wanted that in the 90s. They said, hey, man, we don't want these people are going to depopulate us.
Yeah, so that becomes a precedent because they were, well, what happened, the Soviet Union did, creates a precedent for the war that's now, hey, this is our land, even though it was taken by Soviets.
It was illegally taken and given. And again, when people say, yeah, but so what? You know, Stalin gave this to us. And I go, yeah, the guy was a maniac. Like, you do realize this guy killed millions of his own people. Like, why would this guy's decision be respected in any way? The funny thing is that the United Nations goes with it. They go with Stalin's decision. They're saying, yes, Stalin was right to put this in there, which is, again, insane.
Wow.
And the fighting's been going on since the 27th. About a month. And, man, it's so unfair. And I don't mean like, oh, they have a bigger military. It's unfair. They're bombing civilian cities. They're not bombing military sites. Yesterday, they bombed a hospital. They bombed the maternity ward of a hospital. What is in there, right? Like, come on. You know, and the shelling's continuous. As a matter of fact, there's good record of human rights violations because the weapons they're using are illegal. You can't use them on civilian population. They're dropping these cluster bombs. They're dropping these bombs that have ribbons on them. Kids go and pull them and they blow up. Like, there's all, and there's pictures of this stuff. So I know,
it's heartbreaking.
I know that there's a whole, the Azeri bots are going to, you know, get, the people are going to get into the YouTube comment section and boom, we're not doing that. So there's pictures out there. Go watch it. The other thing is that Armenia has invited the international media to go to the front lines and see what's going on. And Azerbaijan doesn't allow this unless they appoint someone to follow you around and you pretty much read from a script.
Wow.
I think it was BBC I was watching where the reporter was saying, yeah, we don't have a lot of freedom. Like everywhere we go, there's someone tracking us to make sure that we go where they tell us to go.
Now, Arthur, I was looking at who has what bases recently.
Yes.
And I wasn't focusing on this narrative right now, but I was just looking at, you know, U.S. has bases everywhere, right?
Yes.
But as I was looking at that, I thought, wow, Russia has two bases
in Armenia.
In Armenia. What are they doing to help, if anything?
Yeah, so the thing is that America has bases in Turkey for very obvious reasons of the Middle Eastern kind of stuff. And it's kept America from getting involved in what Turkey does. Russians have their bases on the Turkish border. They kind of keep the Turks at bay from invading Armenia. They haven't done much. They haven't done much. They're saying, hey, stop the fighting. But they really haven't done much. Nobody's really done much to help the Armenians.
Because on one hand, you guys have a natural enemy in Turkey. On the other hand, it was Stalin that, you know, took the land.
Yeah.
So there's an interesting little thing.
Yeah, Armenia and Russia have a pact. And the way the Russians get around this is they say, well, Armenia proper hasn't been attacked.
Yes, that's what I was wondering.
Which is not true. South Armenia has been bombed. As a matter of fact, a very good friend of mine, a relative of his, died. In that bombing. They bombed the village that's in Armenia proper. So it's not in Artsakh, it's in southern Armenia. And this individual died. So this is my friend and his relative that died.
Right.
Like it's not like I didn't hear this from some crazy source. So they have attacked Armenia on Armenian land. But again, it gets really complicated. So what happens when Russia gets in? Then the Turks are going to say, we're going to get in, which they're in already. Which makes what makes this situation very different is that Turkey's been shipping Syrian mercenaries to Azerbaijan to fight on the front lines, jihadists. So there's two groups they've shipped. One of them is poor Syrians who are looking for money and they don't have, you know, because of the civil war in Syria and all the stuff that's been going on, they were promised like $1,500. ABC didn't report on this, so it's not Arthur. Go look it up. ABC went to these camps and said, and these guys were like, hey, yeah, a month ago the Turks were gathering, you know, these battalions to send them over there and they promised us $1,500. For a month to go fight against the Armenians. So Turkey's been sending paid fighters and then also jihadists. So I separate these because jihadists are going there with a religious motivation. Or Armenians are, you know, the infidels, the Christians. We're going to go kill them. We're going to conquer the land because we want to Islamicize the world. And what even makes it more complicated is Turkey's leader, Tayyip Erdogan, seems to be with the way he's speaking and the stuff he's doing. He seems to be arguing for a neo-Ottoman empire.
Yeah.
Now, it's not just a neo-Ottoman empire. It's a neo-Ottoman pan-Turkic empire. And I'll explain what that means. Okay. Now, a neo-Ottoman, we'd say, okay, he's trying to re-establish the Ottoman Empire. And this started with converting the Hagia Sophia, by the way. For Westerners were like looking, they're like, oh, it's so special about this museum being converted into a mosque? Well, in Islamic ideology, that's conquest.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And that's what he did. Not just Hagia Sophia, but also a bunch of other churches, he did that. And then he's doing stuff in Libya, and he's doing stuff in with Greece and that area. He definitely wants to expand his borders to where the Ottoman borders were. But I say the pan-Turkic stuff is because if Armenia is out of the way, if you go look at the map of Turkey, Armenia is the only country that's stopping from essentially a borderless connection of all the Turkic people that came from the Mongolian steppes during the Mongolian expansion. So you're looking at Turkey, Azerbaijan, and then across the sea you're looking at Tajikistan, you're looking at Turkmenistan, right. Uzbekistan. These are all Turkic peoples.
Right.
And this pan-Turkic ideology was very popular in the early 1900s.
Yeah, when you think that they ruled the world, you know, that area of the world for 400 years, the Ottoman Empire, and then you think prophetically, you know, you have the seven heads on the beast and so forth, and five have been, one is, which is the Roman Empire. That was, you know, five, the sixth, and then there was going to be the seventh and so forth. It's just kind of interesting. Out of the Roman Empire, the eastern part of the Roman Empire became Turkey. Constantinople, Turkey. Yeah. And so from a prophetic perspective, I've kept my eyes on Ergun, but historically I've kept my eyes on Armenia because their Christian background and the genocide of almost 2 million people. And folks, if you think about it, I mean, think of your people, you'd lost up to 2 million people and it's being ignored by the world. The Jewish genocide that Hitler and the Nazis did has got a lot of publication,
yes.
Which thank God it has, right? As it should, yes. Right? And praise God for that. But the Turkish genocide against the Armenians has fallen on deaf ears. Now, more and more nations, it took Germany a while, different nations a while to recognize it, you know? But what's interesting, and maybe you can speak to this, is the propaganda, because again, when I saw Obama make that, I thought, oh, this guy just wants to vote. I'm gonna watch and see if he keeps his promise. So when we went to Turkey, he didn't say a word about getting them. He said,
I'm speaking about apologize. Obama.
Yeah, no, Obama said he'd get Turkey to apologize for the genocide against the Armenians. When he was there, he didn't say a word. The press asked him why he didn't say anything. He goes, because I'm about unity and not division. He just wanted
votes.
You're
a liar.
But yeah, so it broke my heart. I go, well, I expect that from you because you're killing babies and everything else. So I expect things like that from you guys. But can you speak to the propaganda that to me, it's a lot like the Palestinians against the Jews where they make up these lies to where they're not only denying the genocide that took place in Turkey, but why don't you fill us in what else is going on there?
Yeah, so the Turkish lobbying machine is huge in the United States, and everybody needs to realize that. And listen, if some people might say, well, they have the money, they have whatever, they're lobbying and stuff like that. Yeah, but truth should win out on this stuff, right? We should be on the side of truth. One of the things that they say is that's just like heartbreaking is that they say the Armenians committed genocide against them. Now, let's bring any historian in, right? Like forget Armenians and Turks. Like, I don't know, go get a French historian and a German.
Sure.
Let them go study the facts and say who committed genocide against who.
Yeah.
Right. Till this day, they discover mass graves in Turkey.
Yeah.
Right.
It's heartbreaking.
So when they make statements like this, and it's very sad because it does show how you can completely brainwash a populace by just repeating these lies to them and not letting anybody else kind of influence that.
Sounds familiar. Trump's Russian collusion for 3 years, the mainstream media, and then we find this Bob Alinsky guy, and they're all deaf to it. And it's what's going on?
This is absolutely
Saves
why
God's world.
We need to read wide. This is why we need to read wide. This is why we need multiple news sources.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example of today. Something happened. So Azerbaijan has been bombing Artsakh civilian cities, civilian centers. Again, you kind of look at it and you go, why? There's no tanks near it. There's nothing like that. It's not even on the front line.
Yeah.
The drones are flying over. They're coming in and dropping bombs on these places. And Armenia hit an airport in the city of Ganja, which is the second largest populated city in Azerbaijan. They hit that airport, and most of the drones that were flying out were flying from there. And there was Turkish F-16s that were parked there, conveniently. Because Turkey says, we're not involved, we're not doing anything, but there's Turkish F-16s that were parked there. So they blew the smithereens out of this airport. And then you go watch, I try to get my news from multiple sources. And so I'll watch like Al Jazeera, reporting on, from the Azeri side and stuff like that. And today they said Armenia hit another city. And the rockets were falling down, people are in panic, people are screaming, and this lady's talking, and you can tell she's memorized this, because you can tell when somebody's repeating, reciting something. There's cars just passing by behind her on the freeway, it doesn't look like any panic. There's about 3-4 burnt cars. And there's no rubble anywhere, like there's no buildings collapsed. I mean, if your rocket hits something, man, you're blowing stuff up.
Oh, yeah.
And you're kind of looking at it and saying, okay, clearly there's some damage, but when you look on the Armenian side, there's literally buildings collapsed and there's rubble and all this stuff. Now, Armenia came out and said, yeah, we did hit that city. And we hit it because it had this military unit, it had this, so it hit the military side. So I don't know whether they dragged those cars there and then they said, there's a lot of propaganda. There's actually videos of them making little kids cry and taking pictures and spreading it on social media. Sure. So the social media, again, this is modern warfare. On Twitter, go on one of these hashtags. Again, our viewers, just hit, you know, stop Armenian aggression is one of the things they have from their side. And then go on the accounts that are posting about this. When I click on these, I'm seeing them created in October 2020. They're all fresh accounts and they're all talking about this. They're all bots, they're fake.
Yeah, amen.
So there's a lot of propaganda going on. This is part of the reason why we as Armenians are calling out and saying to our non-Armenian friends, please speak about it. Post about it on Instagram, post about it on Twitter, post about it on Facebook. Get the word out there, right? And get the truth out there. Let people know what's going on. Because in our mentality, the greatest fear, I would say, we have is that nobody's going to pay attention and there's going to be another genocide.
Yeah.
And nobody can know what that's even like to think about unless you've been through a genocide.
You're right.
Yeah, and you know, we got about 2.5 minutes left, but you know, you said something that, you know, I've talked to Armenian moms and stuff that are absolutely just stressed out about what's going on. And I'd love for them to have a little bit of hope, and it'd be great if they heard it from you. Like I said, you got about 2 minutes left to kind of, you know, let them know where their answer could be concerning this whole thing with everything that's going on.
Okay. One of my favorite books in the Bible is Habakkuk. And when Habakkuk, and it's crazy because I preached, you know, like 2 years ago, I did a whole series through Habakkuk. And when Habakkuk asks God, where are you? Where are you? And God says, behold, I'm about to do something that you don't know. Yeah. And even if someone were to tell you, you wouldn't believe it, you know. And he says, I'm going to use this wicked people to judge my people, and then I'm going to judge them. Now, I'm not saying that's exactly, you know, I'm not like applying that in this situation. What I'm saying is that God is righteous.
Amen.
Right? And what I'm saying is that God is sovereign over the movement of nations.
Amen.
My prayer during this time has not only been that God will comfort the Armenian people and that God would bring the Armenian people to him. My prayer has also been that God would bring the Azeri people to him, because there's no other method of truth they're going to be connected to. Wow. They need to know Jesus.
Amen. Okay. Praying for enemies.
And that's difficult to do. Yeah. The reality is, that's heart-wrenching when you're in it, and then you're like, oh man, I got to pray for my enemies. And what? Right? I also pray that God's righteousness and justice would reign.
Amen.
See, I have no doubt in my mind that we're in the right on this issue. And so I pray that God would be right, his righteousness would be shown, that he would be really on the side of the oppressed, which are all scripturally kind of given to us.
Yes, amen.
What can they have hope in? They can have hope in the amazing rock that is Jesus.
Yeah.
Read the Psalms.
Because they cannot look to the north, east, south, and west. Yeah, look to Jesus,
man. We've been looking to the world. Right now, the world is extremely silent.
Yeah, amen.
They really
very
are.
Heartbreaking.
The world is extremely silent right now. You get countries here and there. France mentioned a couple of things, and there's all sorts of stabbings going on in France.
Wow.
Are they connected? I think so, they're connected.
Interesting timing.
Yeah, very interesting timing. So I think put your faith in Jesus, trust that God is sovereign above all things.
Amen.
And that there's nothing that happens without him allowing it to happen.
Amen. Amen. And you know what, guys, if you're listening to this right now, and you know what, share it. This is a perfect example, a perfect time for you to say, you know what, I'm going to share these truths with someone because I want people to know, and I want people to know, don't fall for the propaganda. God cares about truth, and he does care about the Armenians, and he cares about the Azeris as well. Thank you guys for joining us. God bless.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, please consider visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/goodfight. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-GOODFIGHT. JCTruth. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.